Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. Look, well, wrong side, look, the pictures are up. Might give you a bit of context into how big this room is. It's much bigger than my other study in the last house, so I have to say I'm pretty happy in here. Lots of light and pictures up and the house is starting to look a bit better, which is really nice. So I am going to be talking through Brian Mbeumo versus Tony. It's a big decision for a lot of people on the wildcard. I'm going to look at some of the key stats between them, which is really interesting, actually. Talk about which ones I favour, have a look at some of the stats from last season as well, and hopefully come to a conclusion about which one to get in any wildcard teams, or if people are looking to transfer one in, given they've got a pretty good run coming up. So let's just take a look at that run quickly. So in game week 8, Brentford played Chelsea. And then it's a beautiful run of fixtures. Leicester at home, Burnley away, Norwich at home and Newcastle away. They are top of the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker from game week 9 for attacking returns. So I really think that the majority of kind of, you know, dedicated managers are going to be looking to get one of these guys in. They've been playing really well. Brentford have been a fantastic side to watch. Open games, lots of goals, all the things you want to see from a sort of a newly promoted side. So I'm not going to go into the merits of why we should be selecting Brentford players, because I think we all know that when you see a fixture run like this and you've got an attacking team, it's a good idea to tap into one of their assets. So that I will definitely be having at least one Brentford attacker in my team. Might even be a case for two. We'll see if we as we carry on this video. So this is the, let's start with the heat map. So these heat maps are from Fantasy Football Scout. You can go to the members area and you can see these kind of things. You've got Mbeumo on the right, on the left, and you've got Ivan Tony on the right. Now, I was quite surprised at this. You can see that Tony is taking touches, but a lot of them are outside of the box. He's drifting out to the left. He's taking more touches around his own kind of penalty area. And, you know, some of his kind of key places where he's getting the ball are kind of almost on the halfway line on the left-hand side of the pitch, whereas Mbeumo is taking the ball a lot further up the pitch and having more touches in the penalty area as a result of that as well, kind of in the danger areas, which is kind of what we like to see. So in terms of this, it looks like Tony is kind of happy to maybe drop a bit deeper, and to kind of his link-up play with Mbeumo has been fantastic so far this season. So the two of them are developing a really kind of nice partnership. One thing here is that you can see Tony's sort of main cluster of touches is a bit more central than Mbeumo's is. So you could argue that, you know, he's receiving the ball in kind of slightly more dangerous places in that regard, because he's kind of in and around the penalty area. And what we're going to see is actually, I think Tony's role might be changing a little bit. He's happy to receive the ball there and look to set up teammates who are making runs into the box kind of off him as well. And we saw that in particular in the Arsenal game in the first week of the season, where Tony was operating as this kind of like bullish centre forward who was holding the ball up and spraying it, rather than being the one to kind of turn and have lots of shots and be kind of the biggest threat. So it's interesting to see that the kind of the guy who got 30 plus goals last season is now being asked to perhaps operate in a slightly more withdrawn role, where he's not just camped in the penalty area. I kind of thought going into the season, and I admit my Brentford knowledge wasn't particularly strong, would be that they'd be really looking to play to his strengths in and around the penalty area, get him in the box, get crosses into him, get the ball to him, make things happen. But the fact they've withdrawn him a little bit shows they've got kind of different strategies to use. And on, so this slide here, so this is again Tony's touches on the left this season. On the right, from SofaScore, I've just grabbed his heat map from last season in the Championship. You can see that the vast majority of his touches here are in the penalty area. So you can see that he's operating in a different way, a lot more central as well. So on both sides. So whereas he's kind of looks like he's drifting out to the left a little bit more this season, last season he was dropping kind of central to the halfway line for his defensive duties. And then when pushing further up the pitch, he was kind of going kind of either way. So the fact he's dropping a bit over to the left shows that there's been a slight tweak in the tactics that they're using for him. But definitely that touch in the penalty area just shows that last season in the Championship, he was really kind of the guy in the penalty area. Whereas this year, we haven't really seen that from him so far. So let's take a look at some of the key stats. So you've got Mbeumo at the top. He's 5.5 million compared to Tony's 6.3. He's averaging 3.86 points a game compared to Tony's 4.42. So thus far, Tony is outscoring him, but it's not by a huge amount. XG non-pen. I debated whether to do just a general XG because obviously Tony's got the pen and that's a big advantage for him. But if we're talking about kind of open play chances that don't include those, Mbeumo is riding high. I mean, 3.20 compared to Tony's 1.11. So Mbeumo is getting better chance hits, basically. His shots have a higher XG than Tony's that actually don't reflect this gap in the points sort of between them both. Tony scored that penalty, which obviously puts him higher up. But I think Mbeumo has been unlucky to not have more returns than he's had so far. When it comes to expected assists, though, I mean, this is where Tony is flying high. I mean, it's really interesting to see this kind of switch. I mean, normally we like our strikers to be scoring goals and our midfielders to be, well, also to be scoring goals, but we're happy with them creating chances and things. But here we've got, similar to Jimenez, we've got a striker who is happy to create chances for teammates. And actually, I think that works in the favour of someone like Mbeumo, because he's going to be the one that benefits from Tony's kind of creativity that he's showing more of this season than perhaps he's shown in previous seasons. Expected goal involvement, this is based on the XG plus expected assists. This is including the penalties as well. So there's not much in it between them both. Tony's a little bit higher on that. But the fact Mbeumo is so close to him without having penalties shows that he's a real kind of threat around the box. And minutes per attempt, I mean, there's barely anything. Mbeumo is having having an attempt every 35 minutes, Tony every 39.4. So yeah, not a huge amount in it between those two there. If we look at my favourite stats, so when I'm debating players, these are the three stats that I've historically always looked at. Again, not saying they're the best three. There's loads of new stats. I mean, expected goals and expected assists weren't around when I started doing this sort of 11, 12 years ago, whatever it was. I like penalty area touches, I like shots in the box, and I like chances created. And it's pretty even between the three of them. I mean, Mbeumo, who I mentioned, is getting the ball in the more central, or more kind of advanced areas, but not necessarily having a huge amount more touches than Tony is. I think this just shows, though, that I would have expected Tony to be the player in this team who would have the most. And the fact that Mbeumo's there with 32 and Tony's there with 29 shows that, well, there's not much in it, but there is a slight sort of pushing of Mbeumo a bit further forward to get him in the box and creating chances. Shots in the box, 11 each. So both are happy to kind of take these shots. And Tony's there with 11 chances created to Mbeumo's 8. The quality of the chances Tony creates tend to be a lot higher. Hence the fact he's got this much higher expected assist. So yeah, this new role he's got as this kind of creator in the team is I think going to keep providing him steady sort of supply of assists as long as there's people there that can finish like Mbeumo. If we look at midfielders then, so this is really interesting as well, because I'm going to look at sort of all the top 10 sort of midfielders and the top 10 forwards. In midfield, you've got Salah with the highest expected goal involvement of 6.46 out of seven matches, which is frankly ridiculous. Mane, 5.56. Jota's there, 3.99. Fernandez there is 3.94. And then who's next? Oh, it's old Brian, 3.74. So he's really up there with some of these kind of key names. I mean, the Liverpool front three are just dominating this list. And then you've got Fernandez there. But the fact Mbeumo's there at 3.74. Then you've got Gallagher at 3.67, which is interesting. Another sort of budget midfielder. Zaha's there at 3.56. He's sort of around the 7 million mark. Grealish, 3.27. Rafinha, 3.25. And Bowen, 3.23. So you've got a couple of midfielders there around the kind of 7 million or under mark. But Mbeumo is the standout. He's got the highest expected goal involvement of all of these players sort of under 7 million, under 8 million, under 9 million. He's an absolute bargain, really, given what he's doing so far. His shots is 11, which compares with the likes of Bruno Fernandes, for example, Gallagher, Grealish. He can't match some Salah or Fernandes for chances created, but it just shows that his stats are not as good as these players, but his expected goal involvement is high. So his actual quality of chances he's getting are really good. So if that can continue, then I expect him to be an absolute great option, especially over this run sort of going forward. Looking at forwards, you've got Antonio at the top, 5.46 expected goal involvement. Vardy's there, 4.26. Lukaku, 4.06. And there's Ivan Toney, 3.81. So he's the fourth best striker, in theory, for expected goals involvements so far this season. Ronaldo's on the list, 3.66, which is pretty impressive considering he's played a couple of less games. Gabriel Jesus is there, 3.26. Calvert-Lewin, 3.23. I mean, Calvert-Lewin's up there. He hasn't played for about 4 weeks. Saint-Maximin there, 3.14. Jimenez, 3.10. And Mopay, my old mate, at 3.04. So again, you've got a couple of budget options here. Saint-Maximin, Mopay, and Toney featuring the top 10. But it's quite clear that Toney is the most superior one, especially with the fixtures that are coming. And he's playing arguably for the best side. Well, I guess you could say Brighton this season might be, but with some rumours going around to some of our players, it's not going to be, well, I'm a bit worried about our future, let's put it that way. So I think Brentford are the sensible investment here. Summary then. So Toney, he's the best budget striker by quite a distance. I think if I was going to pick one, it would be him. I think Saint-Maximin, you know, could potentially rival him, but I mean, Newcastle now look like this takeover is going to happen, and I think there's going to be massive upheaval there. I can't imagine Bruce will stay. They're going to look to be buying players in January. Maybe it will be a boost for the club, and you know, these players will start really stepping up, and we'll see a more attacking, more vibrant Newcastle. But I think there could also be a sense of a bit of flux going on, state of flux, and I'm kind of keen to kind of avoid that as much as I can. So yeah, Tony's the one for me. He's obviously got the penalties. He's got a higher goal involvement than Mbeumo, and he's not gonna get rested. He's not gonna get subbed. He's not gonna get rotated. Any of that. I mean, we have seen with Mbeumo that he's had a couple of 80th minute substitutions, and there are options that he can tweak the system to bring in players like Wissa maybe if Mbeumo isn't performing. I think he's pretty nailed on at the moment, given how he's performing, but you know, further down the line, we might see a couple of different tweaks. The main drawback of Toney, though, is this new role that he's got. He's not going to be a striker, I think, who gets anywhere near 15 to 20 goals this season if he carries on playing the way he is. I think he might get somewhere in the region of 10, which would be a pretty good return for a 6.3 million forward. But I think if you're expecting him to hit Bamford level height, 16, 17 goals, I'm not sure that's going to happen. Be interesting to know if this role kind of carries on throughout the season or whether we see Toney pushed further up. It almost feels like this is the worst case Toney that we're going to see, and he's still doing pretty well. So I'm not too worried by this, to be fair. Moving on to Mbeumo, I mean, he's out of position, which is a massive factor in FPL, as we all know. We've seen players, you know, in midfield playing up front in the past who have gone on to, you know, have absolutely huge seasons. Josh King is the biggest example. I managed to dodge that train for the entire time it was going, but you know, it almost feels like it's a bit of a gift to have this player at 5.5 be playing out of position for an attacking team. His goal threat is superior. There's no two ways about it. His XG is much higher than Toney from an open play. So if you're watching a match and you kind of take away the penalties, which you shouldn't really because they're a massive thing, but if you're watching for open play returns, I'd put my money on Mbeumo being the one to benefit from that. He's also slightly cheaper than Toney. Toney 6.3, Mbeumo's are at 5.5 still. I think the main drawback with Mbeumo, though, is the position. Well, I mean, it's not in a way because he's out of position, obviously, as I just said, but there are options around his mark, I think, that are good options. So, I mean, you're using a midfielder space for him, and the likes of Rafinha, Gallagher, Townsend, Saar, these are all players who I still think are good picks, and there's lots and lots of midfield options that I like the look of. Whereas up front, once you've got Lukaku and Antonio, I'm looking around other players and I'm thinking it's probably Toney or Jimenez for me, and that's about it. If I go with Mbeumo and I free up that forward spot, it's probably going to go to a 4.5 bench fodder forward who I'm not convinced that I'm going to want. Well, I'm not going to want long term because he's not going to play. And I do like the idea of having some sort of ways of rotating my squad around with the wildcard being played. So before this video, you might remember I did a wildcard video at the start of the week. I had just Toney. I have to say, doing the research for this video has really made me think that I need to get Mbeumo in my team. And looking at Townsend, I'm actually thinking about dropping him and going for Mbeumo as well as Toney and going with them both. it might not be the best with his Chelsea fixture, but I can play one of them and bench them, and then I can enjoy this run for both of them in my team. I think they're both going to offer fantastic value going forward. If Brentford stay in the same system that they're playing, I don't see why they wouldn't, because they're playing so well. I think you're getting absolute bargain for your money with these two. I think Tony with the penalties, the fact there's no real striker contention, but we do actually have some places to move to. So if Tony does go completely off the boil, we can move to Mope, we can move to Saint-Maximin, we could move up to Jimenez if we wanted to, sort of maybe fairly easily. But I think he's going to carry on returning well for a 6.3 million forward. And I just, the more I look at Mbeumo for 5.5, the more I think if I don't jump on that train now, I'm going to regret it, just like I've done with Josh King, just like I've done with Lundstrom in the past. There is no better player, I think, value-wise than him. So I will probably be going with both of them now. Maybe I've convinced some of you into doing that too. Maybe I've convinced more of you into going for Mbeumo than before. If you've liked this video, it's just a short one. If you like this kind of style, give it a like, drop some comments below. And I will see you all probably next week to do another wildcard draft, see where my kind of thoughts have gone. And if there's any other videos that you'd like to see on key decisions, let me know and I'll try and put those together as well. Cheers, guys.